Yeah. people do something. About all we can do is just intercede and come through and ask. Ask God to touch them, but tell you what the Lord can do, what needs to be done. Amen. In each person's life. Amen. Any unspoken, but lift our hands. Amen.
I'm just like to say, come down here, I'm thinking about that old ship of Zion, you know, that when a song got getting on board, I feel like I'm already on board.
What is it?
Brother Teddy, a couple weeks ago, my youngest brother's wife passed away. I asked him, had she ever been saved? He said, I don't know. I said, have you ever been saved? He said, no.
We thank you, Lord, for this another day, God, which you let us call exist. We thank you, Lord, for just letting us be in this world for one time. We thank you, Lord, for this time of revival, Lord, that you bring us. I pray tonight, dear Heavenly Father, for our this week, the Heavenly Father, you were out there. God, let it have revival. God, you
should I weep or sigh, knowing I trusting God, giving Him all the praise. Leading me from the paths I try, ever my voice I'll raise. He will be with me to the end, comfort me with His power. And He will be my closest friend in death's dark God. I'm His, what a wonderful feeling. I believe we did. Turn over to 68. It's kind of like a read. Have a little bit of memory lane. Right here. I never shall forget the day. I remember the day. Ooh, I can take it to the place where I was saved. 68, please. I was kneeling one day, asking God to forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my all unto Jesus the Savior. Then the glory came down. Free from sin. Oh, the glory did roll. I was happy and free. Praise His name. I have heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. Such a wonderful joy I was given within. From all sin. Didn't it feel good? My goodness, didn't it feel good when you came up out of that altar or wherever you were at? And man, you could just give a testimony of grace. Praise His holy name. I will, hang on, I can't even see right now. I will praise His dear name for the wonderful victory.
It's bad. Yeah. He loves me so, and I'm so glad He answers prayers. I'm so glad that He loves me, and I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. And the title of this song we're about to sing is Swing Wide the Gates. And I believe, Bo Tay, when I get up there, I'm going to swing wide that gate, and I'm going to be there for all eternity.
Master, Savior, Jesus.
fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and He's my Savior.
To be in the house of the Lord tonight, appreciate each one coming out this way, and looking forward to the opportunity of revival. Thankful for revival season and revival time. I get excited about it and look forward to it every year. Seem like the winter comes and we struggle along a little bit, and yearning for the time of spring to get here, that we might see revival all over again. Heard it said a lot of times, and I'm not just disputing anybody, but I've heard people say, well, don't expect the preacher to bring revival, or don't expect somebody to have it, blah, blah, all that. But I'm here to tell you that I found a couple years ago, I was studying in the Word of God, and I found where I can carry revival with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I found the equation, or the problem, or how to solve the problem of how to have revival. I found it in the Word of God, and I thought it was so wonderful that the Lord would share it with me, because everywhere I go, people say, well, the preacher don't bring it with him. Well, I wanted to bring it with me tonight, and I wanted to share it with you. The Bible said that if you would draw nigh to God,
yes,
He'd draw nigh to you.
Right.
And if that's not revival, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So there it is, right there in a nutshell. If you want to be revived,
yes,
then you're going to have to draw nigh to God.
Amen.
And if you'll draw nigh to Him, His promise to you is that He'll draw nigh to you. And so you can get as close as you want to tonight to God. You can. And the problem with most people in most churches that I've preached in over the several years that we've been preaching now is that most people are just where they want to be with God. Instead of closer. But I want to be closer to Him, don't you? I want to get to know Him in the fullness. Oh, Paul said toward the end of his life, he said, that I might know Him in the fullness and the power of His resurrection. This is a man that walked with Him. The Lord shared the whole Word of God with Paul and gave him the most of the New Testament. You know why that was? Because the other disciples was backslid. They wanted to stay in Jerusalem and stay right there. And the Lord had already told them to go out and preach and teach among all the nations. And they wanted to stay in Jerusalem. They didn't want to get out, all 11. They stayed right there. But Paul got out and preached the Word to everybody, to all nations under heaven. I believe that's why he got to write most of the New Testament. Because he was an obedient disciple tonight. And we're thankful for that. We're glad to be here. As I told Brother Teddy, we come, I don't know, some months ago in a revival y'all were having. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, get ready, you'll be back. And so I've been looking for Him to call me. I just, be honest with you, been excited about coming to be with you. Now, when He told you, you might not have got excited, because some of you may not know me, and that's all right. And after the week's over with, you may not still be excited that I was here. But I hope you'll be excited for the Lord to be here. And that we could maybe for a few minutes just get into His presence and to feel His power tonight. And that'll make it worth every mile that we travel. And certainly looking forward to being here this week. And we appreciate the Lord and His goodness. Boy, we had a wonderful service up at the church where we're trying to pastor up in Chatsworth this morning. And thankful for it. And just looking for good things tonight. And if the Lord lets me live, looking for good things through the week that we might see folks get closer to the Lord. I prayed for you today. I prayed this. I prayed, Lord, if there's any lost, that they'd be saved. And then I prayed, Lord, if there's any that's backslid, I pray that they would repent and get right with You. And then I prayed,
wrote her a letter this morning that I was proud of her and that I didn't care if she won, that I wasn't interested in her winning or becoming first place or anything like that, but that I was most proud that she had accepted the Lord as her Savior and that she was a godly young lady and that I hoped that she would continue in that godliness. That's what I wrote to her this morning. And I wanted her to know, no matter what she does in Olympics or whatever, or gymnastics, no matter what she does in anything in life, that I'm proud that she's born again. That's the thing that made the difference in her life. So we appreciate your prayers tonight for them. Exodus chapter 14. Matthew 28. And I might read some in 2 Peter. Exodus 28 and 2 Peter in the first chapter. Amen. The Lord lets me live till the 20th of May. I'll turn 45 years old. And I'll have been saved, let's see, 38 years. Because that same summer that I was born, it was the same summer just 7 years later that I got born again. And I got born in the summer, May, and I got born again in the summertime. And I couldn't tell you the date that I got born again. I don't know that anybody recorded it, just to be honest with you. I guess people ought to do that, but I didn't. I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't tell you the hour that it happened. I don't know that I could tell you the exact month or whatever it was, but I know that it happened.
Yes.
And I remember that, and I know what happened at Blue Pond Baptist Church under Brother Jake Cash as our pastor, and that wonderful morning I got up, and we was headed to church as we always did. Wasn't no bones about it. If it was Sunday, we was going to church. That's just the way life was in the Cowart household. And so we got up and I started getting dressed and I got into the little white Citation. We had a Chevrolet Citation. And this is before seatbelt laws, long time before seatbelt laws. And I climbed up in the back of that hatchback and I rode to church. But when I climbed over that back seat and climbed into the back of that hatch, there's something got in there with me that I'd never felt before. And I got lost that morning in the back of that little old white car. And I never had been lost before. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt, and I didn't want to stay that way. So I waited patiently for the Sunday school hour. I waited patiently for the singing. I waited patiently for Brother Jake to get done preaching. That took him a while sometime. But I waited patiently for him to get done. And when they give the altar call, I don't remember what verse it was on, but I stepped out of the back of the church and I came down, made my way down to the altar. I don't remember the steps in between the first step and the time I got to the altar, but I do remember that when I got to the altar, Brother Jake Cash, a great big man and great big voice, he said, "Do you want to be saved?" And I said, "I sure do, more than anything." He said, "Well, let's pray." And so I did my very best to do what I knew to do. Didn't know how to pray, didn't know what to say. Matter of fact, I told this a lot of times in a lot of places where I've been. I don't remember saying any words at all. Some years later, old devil gave me trouble with that. Said, "Well, you didn't get saved, you didn't even pray." But I read one day and got on shouting ground where the Bible said that man looks on the outward appearance, but God, He looketh on the heart.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that morning that my heart cried out when I couldn't and said what I needed, so I got what I got. And I'm thankful for it, and I appreciate the Lord. You listen, Exodus chapter number 14, very familiar scripture that we're reading here in your hearing. And you pray for us tonight that we'll be able to get Josh out of the way for just a few minutes. I guess we'll start there in the 23rd verse. And the Bible said, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28. And it said, I'm just going to read the first couple verses. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Then over in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 19, Peter said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth unto a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day, and thank You for all Your many blessings. I thank You, Lord, again, for the opportunity to be in Your house and to be assembled together with Your people, Lord, tonight, our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, tonight now, that You'd be with us again, Lord. Let us continue how to feel Your presence here one more time, God. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, just to do our part, and God, to be found in Your favor tonight, and Lord, that it might be well, Lord, that the Word would go out and accomplish that whereinto You sent it. And God, tonight I pray that You'd get Josh out of the way, and Lord, help me lose sight of who I am and where I'm at, and Father, and let us get wrapped up, and Lord, in the Spirit of God, and that we might preach again the Word, the wonderful Word of God. And Lord, tonight I pray, God, that You'd help those of us that are here to receive the Word of God and to do with it what it is You'd have us to do. Lord, and that when we do it, God, we could leave and say we're in a better shape than what we was when we got here. Lord, again, if there's any lost in our midst, I pray that they'd come and be saved. Lord, if there's any backslid, I pray that they'd repent and get right. Lord, and any that's been working and walking and trying to do right upon You, tonight they'd get to move up a little closer. And Lord, tonight we'd be able to start in this revival, God, in a good way. And Lord, when it's all said, done, and accomplished, why will our unworthy head, I will thank You and will praise You for it all. For we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. And for Christ's sake we humbly pray. Amen and amen. And You pray for us for just a few minutes, and we'll try our best to give You what we feel like God's laid on our heart. I thought, and I know You have many times through the past few weeks, about the resurrection. Just had Easter.
And it's no doubt that's what our minds have been on. I heard y'all had communion and foot washing this morning. And ours is usually the Wednesday, Sunday night. Before Easter, but we had some problems and different ones didn't get everything that was needed. Some of our deacons are sick, and so we're going to have it next Sunday morning. But my mind and my heart had been upon that time. Where that the Lord ate with His disciples. Running in, died on the cross. Listened and then rose again the third day. And so that's why I read to you here in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. I'd like to try my best. I'd to preach to you this morning or this evening about the dawning of a new day. That's what's on my heart. The dawning of a new day. I thank God. Listen, I'm so glad that the Lord rose. Aren't you? Brother, listen, I believe Paul said, how that Christ be not raised, our hopes in vain. Amen. But Christ did rise, and therefore our hope is not in vain. I thank God. Listen, what is our hope? Our hope is alive. Amen. But old Peter said, listen, that it wasn't a dead hope, but it was a lively hope. Amen. Thanks be unto God. But I want you to understand this, how that before the new day, how the new dawn arises. A lot of times it gets really dark. How it does. A lot of times there's struggles. How before the day breaks. How there's darkness. How before the daylight is. Many times that's what we experience in our own lives. Listen, I've already shared with you just a little bit about getting saved. But I'll never forget what it felt like before I got saved. It was a dark time in my life. The Bible said that Nicodemus, I came to the Lord by night. Amen. And that's how many of us came. If you came, it was a Sunday morning, Brother Teddy. But it was night time in my life. It was a dark time. I was lost in that time without hope. Amen. But I never felt as dark as I had that morning. Yes, sir. I can imagine. I listened to the children of Israel. Down there in Egypt. I cried some 400 years in bondage unto the Lord. No doubt. It seemed like a dark time. But one day the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, you go tell them I've heard their cry. I've seen their affliction. Amen. And I'm going to see it. I thank God to deliver. How rough the storm clouds are. Listen, it could be the darkest hour of your day, but we've got assurance that there's a day going to rise, and it arose in the person of Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad of that? I'm not waiting on some day to come for me to experience happiness and life and true joy and peace. Thank God I'm already experiencing it. That's what I read to the other night at church. In the book of Ephesians, you'll find this term. Five times the heavenly places. That's the only time it's in the scriptures. It's in the book of Ephesians. And Paul told them, said that Christ was raised to sit in the heavenly places. And then in the second chapter it said, and He rose us up, amen, to sit with Him in the heavenly places. It ain't just when I feel good that I get to experience a heavenly place. It's not just when I feel like I'm saved. I get to experience the days of arising in my life. It's not just when everything's well with me, but I'm telling you, no matter how dark the day is, I know that the days are and the rose in my head. Thank God. I know a lot of people don't get excited about being saved, but I can't help but get excited about being saved. Amen. I'm brother, they get on me a lot of times at school. I teach school. And now I'm in a new building. I've been over there about 2 years. And I'm with a lot of people that don't know me. And they ask me everywhere I go, why do you sing all the time? Why are you whistling? Why are you happy? I said, well, the best way I can is by the little song we used to sing. And said, you ask me why I'm happy, and so I'll just tell you why. And said, all that my sins are covered.
Yes.
They're underneath the blood. That blood from Calvary. Amen. I'm thankful tonight to be born again, saved in the day, and the darkness has no hold on me tonight. Amen. That's right. Run, that's right. You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm running. The Bible said, if you'll read, there they were crying out in the Egypt's land, down in bondage, crying out unto the Lord. And the Lord sent Moses. You know what Moses told them? He told them the Word of God. And the Word of God was in. And the Lord said, Moses, you tell them how to look at those Egyptians today. And look at them real good. I'm born today. I'm going to help you. I'll see them no more. Amen. I thank God. You know why so many people still caught up in the Bible? Because they're still looking for them. The Bible says, and the children of Israel have not only got to see them, they're pictures before them, but they've got to see them before and after them.
Amen.
After God put the words back on them. Some scientists said, well, that was the time of year. Leslie is trying to explain away how the miracle of them walking on dry ground. And I like to give them fellows their due every now and then, let them talk. Well, they said, well, that was the time of year. That the Red Sea was only about 2 inches deep. Well, I got excited all over again. They said, what are you excited about? I said, well, if that be so, I don't believe it. If that be so, God, turn the whole continent of Egypt and 2 inches of water. That's a great miracle.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, scientists, and try to explain it. My Bible said they walked on dry.
Amen.
There wasn't no mud on their shoes when they come on the other side. And no, sir. And what, there wasn't a speck of water on them. And that is from dusty. And thank God, because they walked on dry ground. And the Bible said, and the Lord brought the waters back, and there was not one of the Egyptians that escaped. Thank God.
Amen. Bless
His Lord. Amen. Preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with us. Yeah, it's a picture. It's a wonderful picture of what Christ did for us. Well, listen, do y'all sing the song? I know you do, so this is really not a question for you. Do y'all sing the song, Victory in Jesus? You'd sing it like most churches I've been in. Victory in Jesus. We've got victory in Jesus. That's the way most people say it. Lift proof out. I'm going to sober slump. And Lord, I think everything's bad. And don't seem like anything's good. And don't seem like we get anywhere. And don't seem like nobody cares. Understand this. Brother, salvation doesn't depend on how many people show up at the Sunday school. My salvation don't depend on how many people show up for revival meeting. My salvation don't depend on how many people have denied, have done this and experienced God. And my salvation depends on the fact that I trusted and believed on Him.
Yes.
And got raised from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. I preached this morning there at the church. Never had preached on this before. I used the scripture that Reggie preached on the other night. I couldn't get past it. Brother Reggie Nation preached a wonderful message the other night. And as he read his scripture, he got to the second verse. I think he read 9 verses. He got to the second verse of chapter number 12. And the Lord gave me a message for this morning. And so I tried to preach on it. I preached on from the tomb to the table. Amen. In the 12th chapter, you'll see this. That there was a young man there by the name of Lazarus, who just a couple of days prior to
that had been dead in the tomb. Satan's Bible said, they said, Lord, we can't go so well. He stated my name. But here he was now, just a few days later, sitting at the table with Jesus. He was just one of them, the Bible said. There was a lot of them that was at the table that day. I'm glad that the Lord took me from out the front of the table where the dogs used to eat to the top of the table where the master is.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And the little woman said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs from the master's table. He said, I've not ever seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Amen. But I'm not eating crumbs. I don't got a place under the table. I got a place at the table. Amen. Why? Because the day star rose in my life. Peter said, we're not following cunningly devised fables. We're not following after fictitious beings. I like the Avengers movies. I like Spider-Man and all that. I like that stuff. I used to read big old comic books when I was a boy. And I like them kind of things. But listen, all them are fictitious. All them are fake. All them are made up in some man's mind. But we have, oh, Paul said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Woo! Glory to God. We have the inherent, infallible, precious word of God. And because of that, thank God I can read and hear God's voice. Somebody said, I ain't never heard God speak. I said, well, you ain't never read His word. I can speak all the time. He talks to me daily because I'm reading. Over the years, I found some remedies in the Bible. You want to sin less in your life? I'm going to give you how. Hide the Word of God in your heart. If your heart's this big and you just hide this portion of God's Word in there, then you got this much portion for sin. But if you'll hide a whole lot in that heart, you'll kick sin out. Hey man, preacher, that sounds pretty right. I believe it is right. The more Word of God you put in, the less sin you'll have in your life. It was dark times.
Yes.
The days before they come across the Red Sea. Did you notice what time of day it was? Look back over there with me. There in the book of Exodus where we read. And the Bible said that it came to pass in the 24th verse that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. And He troubled the host of the Egyptians. Scoot on down there to verse number 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When? When the morning appeared. Amen. What was that? That was the day starting. That was the dawning of a new day.
Yes.
No more Egyptians. No more bondage. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, why are you so soon removed? I'm from the same gospel that I preached unto you. Why are you so soon removed? Who has bewitched you to believe another gospel, which is not yet another gospel? Who has bewitched you, he said, that you should turn from the truth? Hey man, I want you to understand this. Just because you're saved does not mean, brother, that you're not going to face adversity. That does not mean you're not going to face some hard times and some struggles. But I want you to know that in the darkness of your night, brother, it can be daylight all around you. They took old Paul aside and said, quit preaching in the name of Jesus. And they preached again. They said, all right, we're going to throw you into the inner court. And the Bible said they cracked them in chains and threw them down in the deepest, darkest part. And the Lord
say in there. Some of y'all are going to be like, I'm crazy.
God bless your heart.
I believe there was a light on me, man. Listen, I'm going to share this with you. The Lord gave me this 2 years ago. I thought it was pretty good. Hey, man. The Bible said that, brother, listen, that whenever that old jailer come to himself and he is about to kill himself, he pulled out his sword and he was about to kill himself. And old Paul yelled out and said, do thyself serve and thyself no more. For we're all here. And I thought about that a lot of times. Why was all them criminals still there? How did they run? If I was a murderer, if I was charged with some great theft or something, I mean, when the jail cells opened up, I'd run. I'm going to tell you what I think. I believe through their praying and singing, them old boys said, we want to watch you guys. We see a light on it there. Did we get up and watch you guys? And when the doors opened up, they didn't run because they already free.
Yeah.
They're already free.
Amen.
You can believe what you want to. I believe them old boys in the prison was already free. And that old fella, I believe he said, sirs? Just earlier he was accustomed to beat them. Just a few hours before, but now the power of God has come down. I believe the light has shone down around about him. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you know what they said? It was a simple thing, and it's still worse today. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And you shall be saved, and not only you, but of all men of birth. Of those servants said, you help all those people. Hey there, I believe that God is able to save the other ones tonight. Down in the dark gutter, but the Lord brought me out to the
other.
What a wonderful blessing. Going all and walking on the road with letters in his hand to go and kill Christians and put them in prison. And a great light shone down round about him. What about that? You know what John said, little John? He said, this then is the message, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Now I want you to think about that. In Him there is no darkness at all. Why do we ain't got no power over me? You say, well, why do we still yet sin, preacher? The Bible plainly tells us why. It said every man is tempted when he's drawn away out of his own lust. It didn't say when the devil tempted him. It said when he's drawn away out of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. There's a carnality to us that has a urgency to sin. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present with me. He wasn't talking about Satan. Satan has to flee. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at all times. He can't be. Therefore, he can't always be the one bothering you. Your biggest enemy is you.
Right, right.
If our church, his daddy's just announced he's calling to preach, and his daddy's been preaching, Lord, they've been using him all over. I ain't even seen him in 3 weeks. And that little old fella got saved in revival the other week that his daddy was preaching in. Little old seven-year-old boy. They come back to church that Sunday, and he is waiting for me at the door. He said, Preacher Josh? I said, yes, sir. He said, I got saved. Lord, save me. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to be back. I said, church, you heard his request. Somebody stood up and said, let him already I make a move. He said, as they can't make a baptism, imagine that fool going to steal to the church. Remember, I live with a male member of Mountain View Baptist Church. Somebody else stood up and said, brother, already, I second that move. I said, all in favor say aye. They said aye. I said, all in favor get on and get right with God.
That's right.
That little fellow couldn't help but tell his preacher.
Yeah.
That's all. That rose in his life.
Yes, yes.
The Egyptians. was done away with. He won't never have to fool with them again. He'll never be a bondage again. Because he has accepted Christ, who is a bondage breaker. Amen. The day star had arisen in his life. And he was happy and wanted to tell me about it. When's the last time you was happy in telling somebody that you're born again? Listen to me. When's the last time you was excited to tell somebody that the Lord saved you out of hell? When's the last time you got excited about it's church time? I'm going to get to go praise the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know about you. Well, come back tomorrow night and figure me out a little bit more, okay? Bring somebody with you, especially if they're lost. I want to help you this week. I do. I want to encourage you just a little bit. I've told them a lot of times. They come around and get a verse of some song. I've told them a lot of times. I told Kelly, I said, when I die, you ain't got to put my name on my tombstone. You ain't got to do that. I said, but if you would just put the word encourage on there, that's what I want to be known as. I've been doing this now for 23 years, I think, 24 years. Been preaching 1919, 24 churches I've pastored. Been pastoring now about 18 of those years. And I've had a lot of people over the years, listen, preacher friends, friends I pastored, and things like that. I've been in their house to turn their backs on me and talk about me. You know what happens when I'm floating? I'm not in control. Amen. And when I'm not in control, I don't make near as many mistakes. A few years ago, I started getting up early in the morning and working out. And then I got to where I had a problem with my foot and I couldn't go run anymore. I know you probably can't tell it, but I used to weigh about 165, 170 pounds most of the time. That's what I weigh. But I hadn't ran in about 7 or 8 years, so I'm up over 200 pounds.